Let us pray. Most holy, good, and gracious God, you are truth, you are beauty, and you are love. Transform our lives through the power of the resurrection, that we may seek the truth, see the beauty that surrounds us, and love this broken world, which is in such desperate need of love. Through him who loved us so much that he gave his life for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the days before I went to seminary, I used to spend a lot of time with my friend Julia. We typically met up once a week for drinks and a little bit of talk, mostly about our lives, about our jobs, about our futures. But sometimes we'd discuss books or philosophy or even religion. My friend Julia once recommended a book to me, Man's Search for Meaning, by Viktor Frankl. I made a note of it, assuming the book was solely about the human quest to find meaning in life, which was a reasonable assumption based on the title of the book. Well, in seminary, I found that same book on the corridor book table in the seminary library. I bought it, and I found out that indeed it was about the search for meaning in life, but it was also about something more. It was about Mr. Frankl's search for meaning and his questioning of meaning, but it was also how he came about questioning the meaning of life. You see, Mr. Frankl was a doctor, a psychotherapist, and his experience of search for meaning was born out of his time at Auschwitz and other Nazi concentration camps. Dr. Frankl suffered for 3 years, and he lived to tell about it. And he wasn't concerned with just sharing the details of that experience with the world, but also to kind of wrestle with the everyday life in the camps, how this affected the minds of the prisoners that were in those camps, and how meaning was found in suffering. Viktor Frankl suffered much during his time in the concentration camp. And he was also witness to some of the most unbelievable suffering that has probably ever happened. The Nazis had a very efficient system to strip the Jewish people and gypsies and homosexuals and other groups of their humanity. The people who came into the Nazi camps were stripped naked, shaved, washed, given numbers, virtually stripped of everything that they had, their whole identity. They were fully dehumanized. Prisoners were then given inadequate clothing and inadequate shelter. Those who were strong were put to work for the Germans, and the young and the weak and the sick were sent to the gas chambers, or they were killed in other ways. Frankl, being a doctor, was given, certainly not given special treatment, but he was given a special place in the camp. And he served as kind of a doctor for the prisoners, even though his background was in psychology. He had to deal with many of his fellows in states of distress. He had very little medicine for the sick. Most of the time he could do little but comfort them in their suffering. Conditions were terrible. Food rations were meager. The cold in the winter was unbearable. Mice and lice were daily realities. Prisoners were often abused, beaten, and some were even used for experiments. As most of us know, it's truly remarkable the depths of human sinfulness and how human beings can work such monstrous evil after dehumanizing one particular group. And there are so many lessons that we all have to learn again and again. And that is why we talk about the past. That's why we study the past. That is why the youth group is visiting the Holocaust Memorial Center today. And that's why I'm talking about the Holocaust this morning, just in case you were wondering. Last week, there was a Genocide or Holocaust Memorial Day. I don't know if it was on your calendar, but it was on many calendars. It's also something that many of the churches recognize, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church also. And the Holocaust and genocide are something that we do need to remember in order that we might stop the genocides that are taking place today or that might take place in the future. Many of you are aware of the horrors that are taking place in Africa even now, or that have been taking place, how whole people groups are being systematically destroyed. The recent troubles in Sudan come to mind. They're very frightening. But what's even more frightening is that we live in a world that seems to turn a blind eye to that suffering. With all the resources that we have, we do so little. Unless we think that we are innocent, we must remember that all of us, in some ways, are guilty of stripping away the humanity of so many each day. In the United States, there's a sex industry that is very strong and very dehumanizing. Industrialized agriculture not only strips humanity of any meaning, but also the very earth itself. And of course, racism. All of us are guilty in one way or another of dehumanizing our fellow men and of causing suffering. And all it takes is for a person to become something less than a person. And then we have full power to do with them what we will. And there are some other things that I could say about that I will leave out this morning. But back to Viktor Frankl and the Holocaust. Dr. Frankl concluded that the meaning of life is found in every moment of living. Imagine that. Even surrounded by all those horrors and all those things that was happening, he still chose and was able to find meaning in life in every moment. Life, he said, always has meaning, even in suffering and even in death. In fact, there's even a great courage that comes from suffering. Frankl also saw that there were decent and indecent people everywhere. There were indecent prisoners, and there were even decent Nazi guards. But it's perhaps most important to note that Frankl saw that once hope is lost, one is doomed. In working with people in the camp, that's what he saw time and time again. Once a person lost hope, for whatever reason, they were as good as dead. The power of hope can do so much for humanity. The Holocaust. And this is another reason why I remember it. It's not just about the suffering, but it's also about the hope, the triumph of humanity. The memorial center that we are going to go visit today as a youth group is also a testament to hope. And we have to all remember that hope, or else we're all doomed. And don't we have so much in which to hope, and one in whom to hope? I opened this story talking about my weekly meetings with a friend, of drinks and discussions on beautiful nights. And that story was not just a lead-in to Viktor Frankl's book, although it served that purpose. Like Dr. Frankl, I see, too, that meaning is found in every moment. And those evenings with Julie were full of beauty and meaning. Julie and I were seeking truth, wondering about love, trying to find meaning in life. And aren't we all trying to find that even right now? And if we're not, shouldn't we be? God is truth. God is beauty. God is love. And God is even more than all those things. And God has infused every moment of our lives with meaning. And we know that there is meaning in suffering and death because ultimately our meaning comes from the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, whom God gave for us out of his great love and our hope, without which we would most certainly be doomed, is found in the resurrection from the dead, which we celebrate in these great 50 days of Easter. And that truly is where all meaning is found. Amen.